Amaranth Falls, Chapter 11. Oh, no. With dinner gone, I stared at my empty plate, lost deep inside as Mara and Gally chatted.
So, Gally, I hope our dear Amaranth hasn't given you too much trouble with teaching her the ways of our household.
My interest was piqued by becoming their target once more.
Oh, no, not at all, ma'am. She honestly gave herself over to her duties within the first few hours of shadowing me, said Gally, giving me an appraising glance, though I would like to think that it's my surface-oriented thoughts that wore her down so quickly.
I tried to shrink into my seat as I stared out the window at the grounds, framed under an arch of slowly roiling Jovian clouds.
She did. That's good to hear. I won't deny I wasn't certain if the little fae could handle a spitfire like her. Well, I found her to be very willing, even eager, to help with a certain lady's feet, said Gally, prodding my foot under the table.
I blushed, trying not to make eye contact with her.
My, to think such a strong mercenary could turn out to be a little degenerate, Mara contemplated my flushed cheeks, relishing in my silent dismay.
That's not true. The link must have made me enjoy doing that. It had to be because of Gally's influence.
Ha! I doubt it. Gally has never shown much initiative in that area, said Mara, smirking at Gally.
And you were only linked to her, Amaranth, so it wasn't another maid.
I stuttered.
Gally giggled.
You're really struggling to come up with something, huh?
I felt a stocking foot rub against my smooth latex leg under the table. I blushed harder and squirmed as an unwanted heat blossomed.
Hey, Gally, that's not fair. Stop touching me. I can't.
You can't deny you're enjoying this?
No.
I felt trapped between Gally's prodding and Mara's gaze. This continued with the two circling me and tying my tongue up in knots in my attempts to deny Gally's observations. I felt betrayed. My cheeks roasted with embarrassment. My thoughts swirled, caught inside the onslaught of teasing and domination. I felt dizzy with endorphins. I wanted to blame Sylphie, but the feelings were nuanced. My shame was my own, after all. Mara spoke, finally putting an end to the dance.
I must say that while I'm enjoying watching you make her squirm, I think I want to have my prize all to myself tonight.
Oh, of course, mistress, I understand, and I truly appreciate you giving me the opportunity to prepare her for you. Gally stood up and gave a neat curtsy before turning to leave. My stomach flipped, and I let out a pathetic gasp.
Wait, Gally, please don't leave.
Gally continued walking away and robotically said,
I must obey mistress's wishes, Amaranth.
Indeed. As do you, little maverick maid. Now I understand you have reservations about following my orders, but you will follow them all the same, Amaranth, Mara said, stepping swiftly to stand behind me. Apologize for trying to undermine my authority. I wanted to bolt from the room, but instead I remained frozen with her hands now on my shoulders.
I'm sorry, mistress, I am.
She pulled my head back into her body, lifting my face to stare up into her golden eyes.
There, see?
Her voice was mulled honey, sweet, a touch of bite. It doesn't have to be like pulling teeth, my little doll. I mewled softly, melting into her grip.
I think we should retire to my bedroom for the evening.
Her hand tightened around my throat, cutting off my objections. More bite. I wasn't asking for a response, maid. She released her hold on me.
Come!
I shakily rose to my feet to find her already walking away down the corridor with the long train of her yukata trailing behind her. I hesitated just long enough for Sylphie to goad me onward with the puppet-like pull of her seizing control from me. Together, we departed for her room. The door swung closed behind me with the finality of a judge's gavel slamming. Her room wasn't as large as I expected. The ceilings were high, the pallet consisting mostly of light pastels and her bed frame made from a light wood. The room overlooked an enclosed arboretum of a kind I hadn't seen before. Through the trees, I could see a crystal-clear pond near the center of the space. Along one wall, a collection of implements, toys, and various intimidating devices greeted me in a multicolored array, instantly drawing my attention. They were displayed like pieces in an art gallery. Certain articles stood apart on translucent stands. Impact toys hung in magnetic fields. Drawers were filled with bondage gear and collapsible equipment stood ready for use. I felt the pit of my stomach clench tightly at the knowledge that I would almost certainly be getting to know something from this pile of perversion all too intimately. I felt a hand on my shoulder. You like what you see, Amaranth? I pulled back from Mara's touch. For whatever reason, pity or curiosity, she allowed it. What? No, you can't. Keep on dreaming. Her free hand swept around, drawing my eyes across the myriad array. The view is not to your liking, then? No, that's not what I meant. I thought... Her voice cut across mine like a scythe through grain. Oh, of course, you meant the toys. I do suppose I could see how an overly eager little nymph like you might think that. My face burned. No, that's not it at all, I shouted, clenching my fists and turning to face Mara for the first time. She lifted an eyebrow, intrigued, but her heavy, commanding gaze kept me on my knees. Amaranth, dear, I know you're struggling to accept your situation, but just because I choose to treat you with respect generally... She suddenly lunged forward, knocking me off balance, her palm pressing against my throat. She pinned me against the wall and leaned down to hiss into my ear. Doesn't mean I have to. Her hand closed for a moment as I strained against her, trying anything I could to escape her grip. The edges of her lips curled upwards while I uselessly struggled, cruelty mixing with amusement at my fruitless efforts. My hands struck at her wrist. Nothing. My grasp could not wrench her hands free, even trying with all my might to twist them up and off. Nothing. I kicked at her kneecaps. Nothing. Helpless tears gathered at the corners of my eyes. It was hopeless. I couldn't budge her at all. My head spun as she leaned down, and my world was filled up with her face, golden eyes staring into mine. She released her grip, but continued looming over me, considering her prey coldly while I massaged the ache of my trachea. I tried to look up, but I couldn't meet her eyes, a nameless shame eating at my fight. I looked at her lips instead. She smiled, satisfied. Now, do you think you could be a good deer and hang up this yukata? I stared at her, feeling minuscule, but clinging to my tiny flame, begging it to grow once more. No, not like this. I couldn't. Agony. The horrible, awful nothingness of the shock didn't catch me by surprise, but the pain was still enough to cause my small frame to stumble as my eyes watered and my head swam from the awful neural pain of being punished. I see. Well, can't say I expected you to make intelligent decisions. Her lips widened into a grin. But I can't relish your utter idiocy, Amaranth, because I get to ride you with my wrath now, little fuck toy. I am not... She grabbed me bodily, lifting me up from the ground and throwing me onto the bed. Mara moved with the predatory grace of a panther. She stalked over to the side of the bedroom. Well, from my perspective, you seem to have as much agency as one, so why did you contemplate your new position for a while? A sudden blast of sensation enveloped me all at once, as though someone had poured a tank of warm water on my head. I felt weak. My limbs were like melty, heavy lead. My thoughts were caught up in a drowsy torpor. I tried to get off the bed, but to my dismay, I found even rolling onto my side was now an arduous task. I could only breathe in and out, existing, staring through dazed, dilated eyes at... Mistress... Now, silly toy. I told you that agency was for good maids who submit to their mistress. From my slumped reclining position, I could see Mara daintily donning a well-crafted rubber harness with a very obvious purpose, her yukata discarded over a chair. Oh, no. Oh, no. I tried to crawl, squirm, anything to get away from that indignity, violation. Mara contemplated several different phallic toys before finally settling on a translucent crystalline silicon dildo with an utterly smooth surface and gentle curvature. Just seeing her seat in the harness made an involuntary quiver pass through me. Mara noticed my fixated expression. That's it, Amaranth. I think you could enjoy this view for a change. Mara clicked her tongue.
sending a ripple through my mind as she sauntered over to the bed.
Mara, please,
a finger silenced me, pressing delicately onto my lips. You know, I have to say, I love how the amplifier leaves you so vulnerable to my wrath, Amareth, she crooned. You can hardly move anymore, just from the influence of my frustration. Of course, we may have also given you a bit of a pacification response to a certain phrase. My little fuck toy. This time the word struck differently, like an ethereal gust of wind shrieking through a forest in the dead of winter, freezing my mind into ice of close of half-formed thought. I felt frozen. My, you know, your face is really adorable when you can't think, Amareth. You look so much more available to the world. Poor little darling, I think I need to help you stay like that more. No, Aw, no need to frown, Toy. I promise this will feel beyond description. Strong hands pulled my dress over my limp head, then removed the underlying layers until I was a naked, save for my ever-present, living latex skin. My mind couldn't parse anything other than the experience of being. I stared at nothing. I felt everything. I'm glad I decided not to peek while you were under. My sweet little maid, it was well worth it. You really are perfect now. My face twitched. The faint feeling of horror flooded upward as I remembered my new stature. Oh, sweet darling, you really are, Mara said. A perfect toy. She stroked her hands down the length of my body. I convulsed, unable to feel or think anything other than the singing bliss of really synthetic nerve endings, an artificially enhanced chorus of sensation, alive and so, 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 so overwhelming. Good girl. I am... Her hands found their way to my breasts. My twitching turned into squirming, my toes curled into the luxurious satiny sheets. I know you have that potential, dear. I've seen it in your eyes ever since the first time we met. What? Her fingertips danced across my skin, sending cascades of electrical impulses sparkling through my synapses, lighting my thoughts aflame. I remember it very clearly, the way you moved with such delicate grace in your suit. That one night at the gala, she murmured. I knew I had to have you then, even when you had my brother's mind all over you. You were all that was on my mind by the end of that evening. She shifted up onto the bed, straddling me and pinning my hips with her own, the crystalline shaft resting against my mons, draped obscenely across my outer labia. Her soft laugh shook me almost as much as her touch. You know, for someone described as just a hired gun, you were certainly better spoken than I ever could have hoped, she said as she dragged the tip up and down the length of my slit. Felt like the ice inside me was rapidly melting, but I still couldn't think, certainly not enough to contemplate what she was saying. The warmth felt too good. The laughing heat became a ravenous creature seeking out my thoughts and my identity. I was so helpless. Her hands never stopped stroking. Never. They stoked the flames that consumed everything high while my mind boiled away. I have to be honest, my little gem. I lied to you so long ago. She reached up to stroke my cheek. I hired you to kill him. I knew exactly who you were, even before you set on Typhon. I never planned for it to be anything more than the removal of that unwanted scum. But you charmed me, despite my intentions. I felt my head spinning through the haze as ancient memories of that job materialized and clarified. The look of the girl next to Mara as I sent a spray of viscera across them. The bodyguards yelling, the gunfire that followed, the feelings of exhilaration and fear. The fear. I was helpless here. Oh, darling, don't cry. You were just doing your job. He deserved to die. I promise you that my brother was far from a redeemable person. Mara squeezed my breasts. leaning forward as the smooth surface of the dildo glided across me, drawing some of my own lubricant onto it. But my date, well, that girl wasn't ever the same after that. No, she was nothing like you are, not resilient or adaptable. She hummed thoughtfully. To think that was over 5 years ago now, Mara said, sweeping a hand up my neck to stroke my chin. So long since I last saw her like that. A pity. She was adorable all wrapped up for me. She had the most beautiful eyes when she cried, almost as good as yours, and lips good enough to eat. Get my words fell apart as she leaned in and stole a kiss, letting her full lips dance across mine. Meteors fell, thoughts burst, and I was adrift. Eons later, I felt her pull back again, her weight shifting as my eyes fluttered open. I could think again, barely enough to... Suddenly, she rose up onto her knees and grabbed my hips. Wait, no, she couldn't, she couldn't, could she? She lifted me and unceremoniously deposited me, stomach down, onto several unfurled towels. I mewled as my breasts rubbed into the coarse texture of the fabric. Oh, my poor dear, Mara said as she pulled a pillow under the towels and my hips. You really are hopelessly lost now, aren't you? She chuckled. Though I suppose you really can't be blamed for it. I tried to roll over, only to feel the grip once more on my hips as she squeezed the tender flesh bridging them. And one disappeared only for the feeling of the glassy, smooth phallus to return, teasing up and down my lips. I felt empty. Oh goddess, I felt eternity unfold as she continued to tease the tip, finally reaching a hand up to begin probing beyond. Into me, I mewled as she continued her menstruations. You know, for such a big, strong butch, you certainly seem to be more of a squirming, mewling girl. A sopping wet one, in fact, Amara. A supernova of blushing intensity in my core spilled over, my body flushing with shame, wants, and humiliated anger. And at that moment, she slid the shaft into me for the first time. I cried out as she pulled the tip back till it almost slipped out, her hand steadying the toy. That's it. You're doing so well, Mara crooned. I promise you, you'll be able to take it all, my little doll. You were remade to my specifications, after all. I quivered, feeling my body doing things of its own volition, my thighs trying to squeeze, hips pushing back towards mistress. Wetness dripped down my thighs, and the dildo slid in again. Oh, fuck. Why does this feel so fuck? You're doing exactly what you're supposed to, my sweet little maid. Mara let the dildo slide in much deeper this time. My perfect little doll, my sweet little fuck toy. Fuck! White static filled my head as she pressed further. The cork clenched. It was never going to be able to fit. She persisted, despite the worlds of scale that held her toy at bay. I mewled harder as the dildo slid out again. I was going mad. This was beyond my experience. I'd never been fucked like I'd never been used like this. I moaned pathetically. It's in so much. I made pitiful noises when she pulled back from her next stroke. Mara chuckled, grabbing my hips tightly. That's it. Such a good girl. I am. Her movements halted. All consideration or contemplation. I didn't know or care for anything anymore. I felt so empty. I just wanted to feel full again. I pushed back against her. My forehead touched the sheets. The sheets. Fuck. As her muscular thighs pressed against my legs. As she finally gave me mercy. Fucking me faster. And with all-consuming rhythm. Such a lovely thing. I knew you could manage the whole toy. The in and out grew into a rhythm as she built up steam. It felt amazing. I thrust back against her. The experience eclipsed me. I was lost in the rhythmic crashing of great waves of intensity. Somewhere amidst the cataclysmic storm, she shifted to push something against me with her free hand and pinned my hips against it. There was a click, and my mind was obliterated in an atomic blast of pleasure brought on by the vibrator she held on my clit. I was mindless on her strap, as the concatenation of vibrations and rhythmic fucking became the catalyst of an inevitable and irresistible orgasm, approaching like the distant din of a looming thunderhead. I was already cresting the great tsunami, the coiling building deep within my core, but this was more than I could. I was terrified of falling into the ecstasy, if I could just cling on. Yet I also wanted to let go. That scared me even more still. I did want to give. Good girl, Amareth, she hissed. Give in to this, Amareth. You deserve to feel this pleasure. You can just let go. Fall into it for all of eternity. You can just give yourself the chance to fall. Admit to me, and I will let you drop, and I will happily watch as you fall for me. Amareth moaned. Please, mistress, I want to. Mara, her strong hips bucking against mine, effortlessly tipped me over the edge into the abyss with a deft twist of the vibrator head into me. She leaned in, breath harsh against my ear. Fall for me, Amareth. And I did. I fell away from all that I had clung to. In that moment of transcendental pleasure, white-hot nothingness seared away everything. I fell into a torrent of pleasure, convulsing as Mara continued her onslaught. My mind was empty. I collapsed as my mind fell apart. My body was floating. I was breathed a last thought drifting away. Oh no, falling.